Howdy howdy, this is Lily from Makecraft Game, and you're listening to Season 3 of Reading Rulebooks. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and check out makecraftgame.com for more content. I know it's been a while, but I'm still going to continue on with my Nitzia season, because I had a stack of rulebooks still on my desk that I want to get through. So, today, we're going to look at the game Classic Art. I wanted to do Classic Art after doing Modern Art, because it did come out later, 1996, than Modern Art, which came out in 1992. So Modern Art definitely has some influence on the game, but how much? That's the question. Overview. Classic Art is a competitive game of predictions in which 2 to 5 players take on the role of curators striving to assemble the best art collections. Each season, players take turns predicting the demand of various collections of artwork that populate one of the 5 corresponding exhibitions: etchings and engravings, still life, sculpture, portrait, and landscape. At the end of each season, players score prestige based on their successful exhibition predictions. The more accurate their predictions, the more prestige the player earns. At the end of the game, scores are tallied and the player with the highest prestige wins. Components: 1 gallery board, 1 player token, 25 prestige tokens, 5 for each color, 30 prediction tokens, 6 for each color, 5 high-risk tokens, 1 of each color, 55 artwork cards, 11 for each category, 10 art on loan cards, 2 for each category. Setup. 1. Place the gallery board in reach of all players in the middle of the table. 2. Each player chooses a color and takes all the tokens of that color. This includes 6 prediction tokens, 5 prestige tokens, and 1 high-risk token. 3. During season setup, players are dealt cards according to player count. Then, place the remaining deck of cards in the allotted space on the gallery board. Discarded cards are placed face down on this deck. 4. The player who most recently visited a museum receives the first player token. Prediction tokens, used for placing predictions on unoccupied exhibition spaces in each of the 5 exhibitions. High-risk tokens, used to increase prestige earned on successful predictions. Prediction tokens, used to indicate a player's prestige on the scoring track in the center of the gallery board for each of the 5 categories. Art category. The cards are divided into 5 categories represented on the gallery board by 5 different colored sections called exhibitions. Each category has 11 artwork cards and 2 art on loan cards. For etching and engraving, the symbol icon is a crosshatch. For the still life, it's an apple. The sculpture is an outline of the thinking man. The portrait is of a woman, and the landscape is of the mountains. Gameplay. Classic Art is played in seasons. In each season, players take turns playing artwork cards from their hand into exhibitions and placing prediction tokens in the hopes of earning prestige for successful predictions in each art category. Season setup. At the start of every season, shuffle all the cards and deal cards to each player according to player count. 2 to 3 player games have 11 cards per player, 4 player games have 9 cards per player, 5 player games have 7 cards per player. There is also a 2-player variant, which we'll talk about in a later section. Then, reveal the top 2 cards from the deck and place them next to the corresponding exhibition of the gallery board. If an art on loan card is drawn, specific rules apply. See art on loan card to the right. The remaining deck of cards is placed in the allocated space on the gallery board and will not be used until the next season. Discarded cards are placed face down on this deck. Beginning with the first player and going clockwise, players take 1 setup turn each. A player may place 1 of their prediction tokens or double down by placing 2 of their prediction tokens in a single unoccupied exhibition space. If a player places tokens during their setup turn, the player also places their high-risk token on this prediction. This is the only use for the high-risk token, which otherwise remains unused for the rest of the season. Then the season begins with the first player taking their turn and continues clockwise. Player turn. During a player turn, they must play two cards from their hand next to the corresponding exhibitions. Then a player may place one prediction token in any unoccupied exhibition space, or double down, if possible, placing two prediction tokens in any single unoccupied exhibition space. A player may only double down once per season. Playing cards. There are two types of cards played in classic art. One, artwork cards. When an artwork card is played, place it next to the art category of the corresponding exhibition of the gallery board. The total number of artwork cards in that exhibition will count towards the scoring of players' predictions at the end of the season. 2. Art on loan cards. When an art on loan card is played, discard that art on loan card and one other artwork card from the corresponding exhibition face down on the deck on the gallery board. This reduces the number of artworks in an exhibition, affecting the predictions for that category. Art on loan cards can be played even if there are no other artwork cards in the exhibition. When this happens, the next time an artwork card is played in this exhibition, two cards are discarded. The art on loan card and the artwork card. Note, the total number of cards in each exhibition is public information. Players may count them at any time. Example, Raphael plays an art on loan card in the portrait exhibition. Then he discards the art on loan card and one of the artwork cards from the portrait exhibition. Placing prediction tokens. When prediction tokens are placed, they must be placed in a single unoccupied exhibition space. This acts as the player's prediction of the total number of artworks they believe will be in that category at the end of the season. Rarity show, exhibition spaces 1 to 4. A rarity show has 4 or fewer artworks. When a player predicts a rarity show, they score prestige if the number of artwork cards placed in that exhibition at the end of the season is equal to or lower than their prediction. A rarity show fails if too much artwork becomes available. Grand exhibition, exhibition spaces 5 to 8. A grand exhibition has 5 or more artworks. When a player predicts a grand exhibition, they score prestige if the number of artwork cards placed in that exhibition at the end of the season is equal to or higher than their prediction. A grand exhibition fails if not enough artwork becomes available. At the end of the season, successful predictions earn the prestige values written beside the exhibition space, and the successful prediction tokens are returned to the players. Failed prediction tokens don't earn players any prestige and are lost. Note, as it is optional to place prediction tokens, a player can find themselves with unplayed prediction tokens at the end of a season. The number of predictions a player can make during each season is limited by their available prediction tokens. Example, during the season, Raphael placed a single prediction token on the 1, minus, and 8 plus spaces for the sculpture exhibition. He will earn 5 prestige, as noted by the prestige value, if there are 1 or fewer, or 8 or more, artworks available in the exhibition at the end of the season. Of course, he cannot earn prestige for both predictions. Donatello, however, placed a single token on the 2 minus space and doubled down on the 4 minus space. He can earn up to 5 prestige for both his predictions if there are 2 or fewer artworks available at the end of the season. Ending a season. When all players have 3 remaining cards in their hand, a final turn is played simultaneously. Each player must, in secret, choose 2 of the 3 cards in their hand to play, and discard the last card face down to the deck. Then, all players reveal their chosen cards at the same time, placing them in their corresponding exhibitions. Now that all cards have been played, prestige will be tallied based on the player's predictions. Earning prestige. Count the number of artwork cards in each exhibition. If a player correctly predicted the number of cards in an exhibition, they earn the prestige value written beside the exhibition space, multiplied by the number of tokens placed. Each token multiplies the score as follows. 1 token, 1 times prestige value. 2 tokens, 2 times prestige value. 1 token with high risk token, 2 times prestige value. 2 tokens with high risk token, 3 times prestige value. Each player moves their prestige tokens up on the scoring track in the center of the gallery board, 1 space for each prestige earned for each art category, up to a maximum of 10. After scoring prestige, players retrieve their prediction tokens accordingly. We'll talk about retrieving prediction tokens in a little bit. Example, at the end of the season, only 3 artwork cards remain in the sculpture exhibition, making it a rarity show. Donatello earns 2 points for his double down prediction on 4-, but does not earn 3 prestige for the 2- prediction. Raphael does not earn any prestige for either of his predictions. During season setup, Leonardo and Venus also made predictions in the sculpture category. Leonardo placed a prediction with a high-risk token on the 3- and earns 4 prestige. Venus placed a prediction with a high-risk token on the 6+ and does not earn prestige. Retrieving prediction tokens. Prediction tokens are retrieved by the players after scoring prestige. If a player loses prediction tokens, they have fewer tokens available for the next season. But if a player has no more than 1 prediction token at the end of a season, then they retrieve all of their lost prediction tokens. Successful prediction tokens are retrieved by each player. Failed prediction tokens are placed aside. High-risk tokens are retrieved by each player, whether correct or not. Tip: a player may choose to play more reckless if they have lost several prediction tokens already. In this way, they either score big or retrieve all their tokens at the end of the season. Checking for game end. Once scoring has been completed, check the scoring track. If every category has at least 1 player with 5 prestige or more, the game ends. Otherwise, begin a new season by doing the following. Shuffle all cards back into the deck. The first player hands the first player token to the player on their left. Follow all steps under season setup. 2-player variant. When playing with 2 players, the following additional rules apply. During season setup, after both players are dealt their hands, which we discussed in the season setup section, draw 10 cards from the deck face down to form a new deck for the house. The house will be contributing artwork towards the exhibition. The house does not make prediction or earn prestige. During each round, when a player plays 2 cards from their hand, they must also reveal 1 card from the house. When both players are left with 3 cards in hand, a final turn is played simultaneously, which we discussed in the ending of season section. When both players have revealed their final card, also reveal the 2 remaining cards from the house, and end the season. Game end. If every category on the scoring track has at least 1 player with 5 prestige or more, the game ends. Calculate the overall prestige and declare the winner. Calculating prestige. When determining the winner, only tokens at 5 prestige or above on the scoring track are considered. Earning 1 to 4 prestige in a category will not count towards the final prestige scoring. The player with the highest overall total prestige wins. Example: after earning 2 prestige, Donatello moves his prestige tokens in the portrait category on the scoring track to reach 6 prestige. This is the last category to reach 5 prestige or more on the scoring track. The game ends after this season. Only prestige of 5 or more are counted towards the final score. Donatello has 13 prestige, 7 in etching and engraving, and 6 in portrait. Michelangelo has 12 prestige, 6 in etching and engraving, and 6 in landscape. Raphael has 14 prestige, 8 in still life, and 6 in sculpture. Leonardo has 19 prestige, 5 in still life, 6 in sculpture, and 8 in landscape. Venus has 23 prestige, 8 in still life, 10 in sculpture, and 5 in landscape. Venus wins. Art exhibitions. Etching and engraving. Among art museums, etching and engraving is a multi-tiered process that starts long before the artwork can be created. Artists must patiently and precisely carve through wood or metal plates before they are applied through ink or paint to their chosen surface, canvas, wood, paper, etc. Although labor-intensive, this medium gave rise to printmaking and allowed for art to be produced for the masses. This allowed people to share ideas more widely throughout publication, such as books, newspapers, and posters. Still life. Still life may come off as a direct subject, though, in reality, it is quite the opposite. Inanimate objects have quite the story to tell, from conveying one's day-to-day life to documentation of an entire culture or class of people. Still life is used to convey an array of subject matter, from the classification of items and their properties in science to its use in symbolic means for religion. One of still life's more memorable movements was Vanitas, or Memento Mori, where items of death and decay were painted to convey the impermanence of life, intended for the viewer to ponder their mortality. Sculpture. Sculpture as a medium has existed since time immemorial, and is by far the most sizable and multidimensional amongst art mediums. In the pre-classic art era, the subject matter of this medium was heavily influenced by the worship of gods and the admiration of man. Sculptures were used in religious institutions to honor the divine and in political and governmental locations to honor rulers and government. Over time, sculptures made a shift back to naturalism, which led us to the pieces in the Renaissance, which are more in tune with the observation of the visual world. Portrait. For centuries, portraiture served as an extravagant medium to memorialize oneself. The wealthy and the powerful were among those who sought to embed their image to the medium. Portraits were hung in homes, businesses, political organizations, and places of worship. As a form of permanence, portraits exerted a presence in a space, embedding legacies of men, women, and religious figures from scripture. Today, portraiture serves as an insight into the storied past of humanity. Landscape. Artists have painted landscapes for millennia, offering us insight into the past of lands long forgotten and a visual history of the known world. Through landscape pieces, we have learned about the architecture of the time, the flora and fauna of the region, and even the livelihood of its people. During the Impressionist era, landscape painters explored a more abstract style by capturing motion in the environment through personal interpretation and emotion rather than direct observation of what was in plain sight. Rules summary. Season setup. At the start of every season, shuffle all cards and deal cards to each player according to the player count. Then, reveal the top two cards from the deck and place them next to the corresponding exhibition. Beginning with the first player and going clockwise, players take one setup turn each. A player may place one of their prediction tokens or double down by placing two of their prediction tokens in a single unoccupied exhibition space. A player also places their high-risk token on this prediction. Player turn. Going clockwise, beginning with the first player, one. A player must play two cards from their hand next to the corresponding exhibitions. 2. Then a player may place one of their prediction tokens or double down, placing two of their prediction tokens in a single unoccupied exhibition space, only once per season. Ending a season. When all players have three cards remaining in their hand, a final turn is played simultaneously. Each player must, in secret, choose two of three cards in their hand and discard the last card face down on the deck. Then, All players reveal their chosen cards together and place them in the corresponding exhibition. Earning prestige. After all cards have been played, the season ends and prestige is scored for each successful prediction. Players move their prestige tokens up on the scoring track in each art category and proceed to retrieve their tokens. Retrieving prediction tokens. Prediction tokens are retrieved by players after scoring prestige. If a player has no more than one prediction token at the end of a season, then they retrieve all their lost prediction tokens. Successful prediction tokens are retrieved. Failed prediction tokens are placed aside. High-risk tokens are retrieved, whether correct or not. Checking for game end. Once scoring is complete, check the scoring track. If every category on the scoring track has at least one player with 5 prestige or more, the game ends. Otherwise, begin a new season by doing the following. Shuffle all cards back into the deck. The first player passes the first player token to the player on their left. Follow all steps under Season Setup. Game End. Players total up their prestige on the scoring track. Scoring 1-4 prestige in a category will not count towards the final prestige tally. The player with the highest overall prestige wins. And that is the rulebook for Classic Art. Now, this game did differ from Modern Art more than I anticipated. I had kind of assumed it would be fairly similar, maybe just a different art style. But there is some different gameplay here that I wasn't expecting. In Modern Art, you're buying for the artworks themselves, whereas in Classic Art, it's more of a collective. Modern Art, the collective does determine the value, but here in Classic Art, it's only looking at the collective. There isn't really a personal collection. There's no set collecting part of this. There's no trying to get things. The only real player interaction that I can see from this rulebook is the prediction tokens blocking spaces for other players. This seems like it would give the first player a pretty big advantage, being able to have free reign of the board. But they also are limited by the information of knowledge of what's in their hand. So I could see how maybe it isn't actually that good of a position, but at the same time, it's not a good position. You can definitely take something that you know is going to happen depending on your hand, or you think is going to happen. The only thing you can really know is going to happen is if you have 5 cards from one artist, then you'll know that a 5 prediction is pretty likely to happen. And that being said, the center of the board, the prestige that you gain is a little bit less than the riskier ones at the edges of the board. Now, you don't have to place prediction tokens every turn, but why not? I don't see a reason not to play all your prediction tokens every season. More prediction tokens means more opportunities, means more points. Yes, you could lose them, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just missing a strategy here. If you're able to put out 5 tokens in good spaces and win all of them, great. If you put in 5 in bad spaces and lose all of them, sucks, but whatever. If you put out all 5 and lose 4 of them, then same situation, honestly, is losing all 5. You just get them all back because you can't have no prediction tokens. And I definitely do not see a reason to not have a high-risk token out. There's no risk, really. It's just reward. I mean, you might lose the token, yeah, but that's the same case with a normal prediction token, so why would that matter? What makes it high risk besides giving you more is really what I don't understand. I don't feel there's really a negative punishment for putting out prediction tokens. Winning 2 bids and then only having 2 prediction tokens for the next season can be a little rough, but that means go ahead and make high risk bids. The likelihood of one person doing 5 safe bids to another doing 2 high-risk ones, the prestige value is probably pretty equal if all come to fruition. Using less prediction tokens to get more points just seems like what you want to do, and if it's a risky and bad decision, then oh well, you get all your tokens back and now you have 5, and you can go back to doing safe or risky or somewhere in between. I'm definitely surprised how little player interaction there is. Yes, you know things that your opponents don't know, and you can things out, but there's not really much decision making. The best decision you have is withholding one card from your hand. Everything else is going to get played. So what you're trying to do is goad your opponents into doing predictions you know are going to be bad? I'm not exactly sure. There's not really a way to influence other players. So you're just kind of going off your own knowledge and seeing how the die lands. This game feels kind of weird because it just feels more like an exercise than anything. The prediction tokens are interesting, and having to kind of figure out what you think will happen versus what you know will happen could be a fun challenge, but I don't necessarily see why it needs to be in a board game form and why you're doing it with other players. I don't see the benefit of doing this at a table versus doing it against like a computer by yourself, but maybe I will understand it better if I played the game. Just reading the rulebook though, there doesn't feel like there's a lot here. I was kind of expecting a little more, especially after seeing all of the auction types of modern art, and having it called classic art does naturally draw that comparison, for me at least. Modern art feels like you're making decisions. Yes, you're still playing all your cards and the types of auctions are fixed, but at least you're the one deciding how much to bid. With this one, you play cards and then you can put down a prediction token if you want, which also feels kind of strange that that's not a decided factor. Now, depending on the number of players, there's going to be a different number of rounds. At 2 to 3 players, you're going to play 10 out of your 11 cards, which means you'll have 5 rounds. 4 players, it's 8 cards, so 4 rounds, and then 5 players, it's 6 cards, so 3 rounds. I already took off the one card that's going to get discarded at the end. So there is really no reason not to put down a prediction token every round. There's just not enough time to hedge your bets. You can only do the 2 prediction tokens down on one space once per season. So that leaves you with 3 tokens remaining. I'm assuming one of them got put down with your high risk token because it's not a high risk, it's just a high reward. And the longer you wait, it's really interesting because for the lower art predictions, bidding early is definitely risky because you don't know what's going to happen. But for the later, like the higher numbers, it's actually quite safe because you're seeing things, you know things, you have more information, which is why I find it interesting that the 8 bid is equivalent to the 1. I mean, with the art on loan cards, there's definitely some trickery that can happen, but it's more than likely you're not going to bid on that 8 spot until later in the round anyway. And at that point, there's going to be enough knowledge. So it's really just whoever has that first opportunity to do it once enough things are known. Overall, this game does seem like it really benefits from positioning. And that doesn't necessarily mean first position versus last position or whatever. It just means that sometimes information comes out on, say, turns after mine, and I will never have a chance to act on that information because it's gone. Those opportunities are gone by the time it comes back to me. So I definitely feel that there's an odd dynamic in that regard. But this is a Reiner Knizia game with no hidden trackable information. I feel like since I pointed that out for every other episode, I should point it out for this one as well. And that is definitely bonus. I will say, going off of aesthetics, classic arts, art style is very classic. I really enjoy a lot of the pieces that are depicted on the cards. I find them quite beautiful, especially some of the still lifes and landscapes. That's just the type of art I'm into, so can't say I'm surprised by that. One thing I did not touch on, and I want to touch on before ending this episode, is the art on loan cards. I originally thought this was going to be art that you were gaining from an outside source, but because the normal cards add, it doesn't make sense for the art on loan cards to add as well. So having them subtract is really interesting. But I don't understand why it matters which piece they subtract. Just take one out of the pile. The most interesting thing that I think can be done in the whole game is putting an art on loan card in an exhibition with no art in it. This could really obfuscate the board and the information that people are knowing because it might make someone more hesitant to play cards into that exhibition. That being said, again, there's only one card in your hand you're not going to play, so it's not really going to hold people off for too long, but it's the only real, like, mind game I can figure out with this whole thing. Just taking and removing a card or a piece of art isn't really that exciting, especially since it's not like the art adds a dynamic number of value. Removing one card is just removing one card. No piece of art is worth more than any other within the same exhibition. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you hear, make sure to check out MCG on other social media platforms or go to madecraftgame.com for more content. And I hope you enjoy playing the game.